Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your number one source for the latest in WWE news and straightforward analysis.
Are you ready to get this thing going?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Then let's get this show started right now.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review right here on the WWE Podcast Network, your one-stop shop for everything wrestling-related throughout the week. We got a Raw show, we got an NXT show, we got a SmackDown show, AEW, highs and lows, wrestling nostalgia, a mailbag episode, WWE rivalries. I mean, everything you could possibly need. Your flavor of ice cream, you'll definitely find it here. And I'm certainly glad that you were choosing this podcast to fill that need and get your daily dose of wrestling discussion. And I'm certainly glad that I can be a part of it with you. I am Michael Ritter, the host of this show. You can find me on Twitter, Michael5Ritter, and on Instagram at MichaelRitter5. When I'm not doing this, you can also find me hosting my own show called Football Function, available on all of your podcast platforms. But today, we are going to be covering SmackDown. This is a SmackDown review, and we're going to be talking about the SmackDown that aired on April 2nd, 2021. And I really don't know what it is, but for some reason, I feel like these SmackDowns have really just been flying by lately. And obviously, it being a two-hour show in comparison to Raw being a three-hour show, you're definitely going to notice that. And for some reason, it's just been definitely standing out lately, and tonight's episode is certainly no different. It seemed like the first time I looked up to see what time it was, the episode was already almost halfway over, so that's definitely going to make it fly by, I guess, every week whenever you're watching it. But we're going to go ahead and dive right in here. Nothing else really stopping us from getting into this SmackDown, and this one in particular. It starts off with Edge. He opens the show, and he comes out there, and he actually is a little bit, or at least he seemed like he was more calm than he has been in recent weeks. He's actually been really bringing out that rated R superstar side of him over the past couple weeks. So the fact that he came out and he was relatively calm this week, I feel like that jumped out to me at least. And he really starts it by saying that all of the chaos that happened last week to end SmackDown, it really didn't need to happen, according to him. But he said because of all of that, he's been able to look in the mirror. And he's finally happy with what he sees when he looks in the mirror. He says that he's finally seeing the rated R superstar, the guy who's willing to do whatever it is that he has to do to get the job done. And he finally woke the hell up. And he says that himself, he's referring to himself, says that he is a man that Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns should aspire to be, a WWE Hall of Fame legend. So I definitely like seeing I don't know what the hell I was thinking, Edge. It's nice to see Edge kind of pat himself on the back a little bit, toot his own horn, so to speak, just to basically let these guys know, like, hey, remember who you're in the ring with. I am an already inducted member of this WWE Hall of Fame, and I am a former world champion, so if you think you're just going to walk all over me at WrestleMania, you're definitely not going to. So I definitely understood what Edge was trying to say there, and he definitely went on a lot more than that. This was definitely a longer promo. Passionate, like always. Edge definitely has been really been killing it on the promo game lately. I mean, it's always been a strength of his, but you can just tell. I mean, whenever they told him, this is what you're doing leading up to WrestleMania, you're very pissed off about Daniel Bryan inserting himself into this picture. So whatever you got to do, beat a dead horse, continue to pound it into the ground to let these guys know why it is that you're upset. And he's just doing a phenomenal job. I mean, it just actually tells you the type of seriousness that Edge takes, and he's just going to commit all into whatever it is he has to do, and he's going to make the most of it. So you can just see, week in, week out, he repeats himself almost just till he has veins sticking out of his forehead talking about how mad he is about Daniel Bryan. And you definitely see that a little bit later on in the show whenever he is the guest on commentary. But we do stick a little bit with Edge here, and he really gets, like I said, towards the end there whenever he wakes up and he says that Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns should aspire to be him. You can tell that the calmness really starts to kind of go out the window, and he just fully embraces the rated R superstar version of himself, and he actually says it. So that was pretty cool to see. It almost was like a transition right in front of our eyes if you really think about it. But they stay with Edge. He leaves the ring. He goes backstage, and Kayla Braxton walks up to him. And she basically, I mean, if there's anybody who likes to instigate in WWE in terms of commentators or announcers, interviewers, whatever you want to call them, Kayla Braxton seems to always be the one who is instigating, poking the bear, trying to antagonize whatever storyline that she's being thrown into to, you know, induct an interview or conduct an interview. Sorry. But anyways, she asks Edge to address the main event. And he says that he really doesn't feel bad, or he wouldn't feel bad, if Daniel Bryan got beaten senseless tonight by Jey Uso. And then she tries to ask another question, but he cuts her off. He says, I already know what you're going to ask next. You're going to ask if I'm going to feel bad if Daniel Bryan gets injured tonight and has to miss WrestleMania. And obviously the answer is a pretty clear hell no. He actually doubles down on it and makes it very clear that he does not care what happens to Daniel Bryan tonight. The respect is pretty much gone out the window as far as Edge is concerned, and he makes that pretty clear. But continuing on through the night here, we get an 8-man tag match. The Alpha Academy and the Dirty Dogs versus the Mysterios and the Street Profits. Chad Gable actually cuts a pre-match promo here, and he says that over the past few months, he's transformed Otis from a human bulldozer into a force of nature by, quote-unquote, releasing his inner alpha. And he says that next week on a special WrestleMania SmackDown, and that's right, guys, next week, we're not getting a regular SmackDown. It is a WrestleMania SmackDown. I mean, there's a logo for it and everything. They show it later on in the show, a little graphic down at the bottom of the screen. So next week, we are going to get a WrestleMania SmackDown. And I really don't know what to make of that. I mean, it's definitely the first time I can remember ever having something like this right before WrestleMania. And to be honest, it kind of slipped my mind that I'm going to be doing one of these reviews right after SmackDown next Friday, and it's the night before WrestleMania, so it's just crazy. I'll be doing my predictions that night as well. But it just actually got me thinking that starting next Friday, we are going to get, or actually, I'm not sure. I need to look and make sure exactly when the NXT Stand and Deliver 2-day event is happening, if it's Tuesday and Wednesday, or if it's Wednesday and Thursday. I know some people are probably thinking right now, how the hell do you not know that? But I really don't. I'm really confused about the date as far as the whole 2-day event for that one. But regardless of that, I mean, you're going to get two episodes or two shows of NXT next week. So whether it's Wednesday and Thursday or Tuesday and Wednesday, it really doesn't matter. But starting Friday, for sure, you're going to get WrestleMania SmackDown on Friday, Saturday night, night one of WrestleMania, Saturday night, night two of WrestleMania, or Sunday night, night two of WrestleMania, sorry, and then Monday, obviously, the Monday after WrestleMania, Tuesday, April 13th, the very first NXT on Tuesday night, officially moving to Tuesday night, and then Wednesday, of course, you got your AEW, so you basically, I mean, there's a good chance, depending on how that NXT schedule plays out, and I should probably just look that up right now before I go any further, but basically, depending on how that pay-per-view goes, there's a good chance that we could get either 6 or 7 straight days of wrestling. And that's just pretty crazy to think about. I mean, 7 straight days, and it actually, I'm pulling it up right now. Sorry, I got to kind of waste a little bit of time. It's April 7th and 8th. Okay, so it is Wednesday. It's Wednesday and Thursday. So that's crazy. We literally get 7 straight days of wrestling, and that's just, I mean, that's pretty awesome. This is going to be a phenomenal week. Whenever I hear Matt talking about how he's got a big week plan, we're going to have so many episodes dropping. When you look at the preview show, the review show, and then just your regular weekly programming here on the WWE Podcast Network, it's just pretty crazy to think. I get the end of school year vibe for some reason. I don't know why, obviously. Haven't been in school in forever, but for some reason, just whenever I think about WrestleMania week, you know that feeling you would get whenever you knew the end of the school year was coming up and you're probably going to have like a pizza party or something just to send you into summer. That's kind of how I feel like. I'm comparing WrestleMania to the much-anticipated summer whenever you are going through the school year, and this just kind of has that vibe to it. And it does feel cool, and I'm glad that I get to be a part of this build-up for WrestleMania here on the WWE Podcast Network, so I'm looking forward to that. But continuing on here in this night, like I said, the WrestleMania, here I completely got off topic whenever I brought up that WrestleMania SmackDown. I just realized how off topic I really got there. But getting back into the match, the 8-man tag match, like I said, it was announced that next week on a special WrestleMania SmackDown, we are going to get a Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match for the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, featuring all the teams who are in this 8-man tag match tonight: Alpha Academy, Dirty Dogs, Mysterios, and the Street Profits. And speaking of this match, there's a lot of high-flying action early on, like in the opening minutes, kind of sends you into a commercial break. And then whenever we come back, the match only lasts about 10 more minutes. But like I said, there was a lot of high-flying action early. Angelo Dawkins and Otis eventually get the match kind of turned into more of a physical fight. But Chad Gable does eventually hit a rolling German suplex on Montez Ford, and that's absolutely beautiful. If you guys haven't seen Chad Gable hit those rolling German suplexes, you definitely should, because those are just a thing of beauty, and nobody in WWE can execute that as good as he can. But he does. He hits that on Montez Ford, sets up Ford for an Otis splash. And I'm not going to lie, this Otis splash might have been the most brutal one that I've seen him do yet. After he hit the mat, he bounced up like 10 feet. So you know that Montez Ford felt every single bit of that splash. But after the splash, Otis eventually picks up the win for his team whenever he pins Montez Ford. So you can expect Chad Gable and Otis to have a lot of confidence and possibly some quote-unquote momentum heading into that fatal four-way match a week from tonight or last night, basically whenever you're listening to this podcast, at the WrestleMania SmackDown. So, and we do get a little bit more announcements for that WrestleMania SmackDown a little bit later in the night. But continuing on here in the regular SmackDown, we get Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce backstage, and they're approached by Paul Heyman. And I really didn't understand this segment. I mean, it was just kind of confusing to me, because Paul, he walks up and he says that Roman Reigns asked him specifically to come talk to the two of them. Like, he made sure to specify the two of them. And he basically is just asking, why are they putting Daniel Bryan in a street fight with Jey Uso this close to WrestleMania, whenever it could end up having Daniel Bryan get injured and altering the main event? So initially right there, I thought, why the hell would it matter to Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman if Daniel Bryan gets injured? Shouldn't they want that? I mean, I really didn't understand that part. So immediately I was like, well, this kind of doesn't make sense. But Adam Pearce tries to basically brush off what Paul Heyman is saying, but Sonya Deville almost immediately interrupts him, and she agrees with Paul Heyman, and he says, hey, you have a good idea. So I thought that was kind of weird as well. I was like, well, for one, Paul Heyman emphasized the two of you whenever he said, Roman asked me to come and talk to the two of you. I feel like Paul Heyman kind of emphasized that. So that kind of got me thinking, are they trying, like, is Sonya Deville, does she have something up her sleeve here? Like, I don't really know. I don't want to speculate on that. But it just kind of, it made me wonder, why did they want to get her opinion? And the fact that she interrupted Adam Pearce and kind of just overruled him right there and agreed with Paul, I was like, wait, is there some type of little discussion going on behind the scenes between them two where Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, and Jey Uso might have Sonya Deville doing a little bit of dirty work, I guess you could say, as far as the whole official role goes? She might not be a clean official, I guess you could say. She might be doing things a little bit dirty, but that's something that obviously could be completely wrong. It's just something that kind of crossed my mind. Another thing that crossed my mind here in this segment was maybe Roman Reigns, obviously they're just trying to go full on heel with him here and just trying to keep Daniel Bryan in the match because he feels like it gives him a better chance to pick up a win rather than a one-on-one match with Edge, because maybe he feels like he can somehow sneak it out a little bit more with the no DQ rules, having Jey Uso there. So I just feel like maybe that could be what they did there. All in all, though, this segment did actually confuse me just from a logic standpoint. But nonetheless, we do get more of each of these people later on in the night and throughout the show. Moving on here, though, we get Corey Graves, who's standing in the ring with Seth Rollins and Cesaro. And Corey's beginning to introduce them, but Seth Rollins actually corrects him whenever he is trying to introduce Seth and says that he needs to be referred to as Mr. WrestleMania. And he starts to name off some of his opponents, some of the things he's done. And he even references, you know, Stone Cold versus The Rock, matches like that at WrestleMania, claiming that the heist of the century tops all of those moments. And, I mean, obviously that's not true, but, I mean, in Seth's opinion, you know that he looks back on that heist of the century as a turning point in his career, so obviously I could see why he would feel that way, and it certainly is a phenomenal moment that I will certainly remember for as long as I'm watching wrestling. But Cesaro doesn't just stay quiet during this segment either. He's actually poking fun at Seth Rollins basically the whole time. He continues to, you know, make jokes about the swing. He just keeps, like, making puns and using some wordplay to basically try to get under Seth Rollins' skin. And he eventually does that, but before he does, Cesaro says that he kind of smells something in the air. He says that something is in the air. He says that he can feel it, and he knows that he's not going to fail at WrestleMania. And he says that he wouldn't be here if he didn't feel that he can really beat Seth. And like I said, he keeps on making jokes about the swing just to try to get under Seth Rollins' skin. Eventually, Seth does lose his cool, and he continues to belittle Cesaro and says that at WrestleMania, he's going to embarrass him so bad that he won't even have his potential to fall back on, which is a little bit of a deep cut whenever you think about how we've all viewed Cesaro as just basically associated with him with unlimited potential that just isn't getting utilized. So Seth Rollins is definitely referencing that a lot here in these promos leading up to WrestleMania. But let's see here. Moving on, we get a one-on-one match, the quickest match that I can remember here in the past few weeks on SmackDown for sure. We get Shayna versus Natalya, Nia Jax on commentary, and this is where things really kind of go south for me, just the whole segment in general. Because number one, Natalya beats Shayna Baszler. Like, what the hell? Why? And the way she wins, because it's under a minute, and the entire match, all it really is like a series of countered roll-up attempts by both of them, Shayna and Natty. They kind of just take turns rolling on each other's shoulders, and eventually Natty does get the win. But as soon as it's over, Nia Jax comes in the ring, because she was on commentary during this match. She comes in the ring. Shayna gets up as well. They begin to just attack Natty and Tamina until the Riot Squad actually come out and try to save the day, which I had no problem with. The Riot Squad are on SmackDown, so I had absolutely no issue with them coming out to try to, you know, attack the champions. Like, hey, you guys are on our show. You're trying to beat up a tag team that's on our show. We're not going to let that slide. But that's about where things stop as far as positive, because the next team that runs out is Mandy and Dana Brooke. Yeah. Monday Night Raw women's wrestlers, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. And don't worry, as soon as they go out there and get laid out, Lana and Naomi, two more Raw women's wrestlers, come out, and they decide to start a huge brawl that somehow, despite them getting beat up like immediately whenever it started, Natty and Tamina are the last people standing during all of this. So I just didn't really think any of this made sense, really, from the booking of the match, how it ended with Natty getting the win the way she did, with the Raw women coming out there. I mean, why? I don't understand. I mean, I'm not trying to go on a rant about that, because you guys already know how I feel, and I've already said it, but in case anybody out there hasn't already heard me say it, I'll just say it again. As long as they are in the Thunderdome, as long as they are not forced to go on separate tours, as long as they are not forced to really commit to this brand split, especially this close to WrestleMania, whenever you ask the officials or whoever, whatever excuses they would make, it's WrestleMania season, who cares, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, we all care, obviously, because it does bother us whenever we see this type of rule-breaking, whenever it's their own rules, for one. And just, you want me to get invested in a specific roster and start trying to focus specifically on that roster, and then you have other women or other men coming over here. And it just, I know that some of you might, that might not bother you, and I understand. You probably weren't watching whenever the brand split was at its peak, so you might not quite realize the benefits of it, and just to see it kind of be watered down, I mean, it really makes no sense. So, and that's not it. I mean, Baron Corbin, he actually cuts a promo here tonight for some reason, just to explain why he attacked Drew McIntyre. I mean, we all know why he attacked Drew McIntyre, but for some reason he needed to explain it and show off his expensive watch again and tell us all that we're going to bow down to him after he beats Bobby Lashley, even though we all know that Bobby Lashley would squash him in 3 minutes the way they're being booked right now. But I don't know. It's frustrating just to see. When I saw those Mandy and Dana run out to the ring, I literally was like, are you kidding me, man? Like, the Riot Squad was enough. I was actually excited. Like, okay, maybe this is where we get the Riot Squad inserting themselves into this picture. Because just, I mean, while we're on the topic of WrestleMania, I mean, how many matches have we seen just literally be thrown together for no reason whatsoever? I mean, obviously, you can somewhat try to build a quick story like what they're trying to do with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but that match was still, I mean, regardless of their history or how good of a match they're going to have together, it doesn't change the fact that that match was literally just thrown together for basically no reason. And that just kind of proves that WWE is really trying to, they don't have the booking skills to book two nights at WrestleMania, and I feel like they kind of set themselves up to have to do that, so now they're having to do everything they can to try to get all of these random one-on-one matches on the card. And just speaking about WrestleMania quickly, they actually did announce that the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is actually going to be on that WrestleMania SmackDown So that's not even going to be on WrestleMania this year. That's just crazy to think about, that you're taking something that's supposed to be specifically on WrestleMania every year and you're moving it to a SmackDown, but yet you're going to have probably five matches on the card that really shouldn't even be on it. But whatever, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not here to complain about everything, so I don't want you guys to think that, but this is just one of those things that the brand split, number one, is always going to ruffle my feathers whenever they just abuse it and they don't take it seriously. And then just seeing how WrestleMania has kind of been thrown together, I mean, they really have no excuse. I mean, it's not like COVID snuck up on them this year. They have no reason not to have solid storylines going into the biggest pay-per-view of the year. So that's just one thing that is kind of bothering me, but I'm just going to accept the fact that, I mean, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are going to have a great match. Cesaro and Seth Rollins, they're going to have a great match. I don't really know if I could say the same for a few other matches that are just kind of thrown on the card, like Matt Riddle and Sheamus. You know, that one's probably going to be on there. And then the whole Bad Bunny and Miz thing, don't even get me started on that. There's just, I don't know, this definitely doesn't feel like WrestleMania. So it's kind of weird. I mean, I'm definitely hoping that it does end up over-delivering, because as you guys can probably tell, I don't really have too high of expectations going into it. But that can all change. I mean, I'm gonna be excited watching it. I mean, like I said, just because it doesn't feel like WrestleMania doesn't mean that it's not WrestleMania. So obviously, whenever I'm turning on, I guess Peacock is what it's going to be, I'm going to be absolutely excited. I mean, for as long as I can remember, I think dating back to like 2011, we do chili dogs on WrestleMania always. So that's just one thing I always look forward to. Pizza on the NFL draft, which is also in April. Chili dogs on WrestleMania. It's just every year. And I know you guys probably don't care, but that's just kind of a little side WrestleMania story about what I do every year. So I'm looking forward to that. But let's see here. We can move on a little bit now to some more women. And that is Carmella. She's shown watching backstage all that nonsense of the whole tag team bullcrap. But she's actually seen standing next to Billie Kay. And Billie Kay is actually trying to walk away, you know, sad like normal whenever she gets rejected by whoever it is that week that she's trying to offer her resume. But this time, Carmella is actually the one who asks for a copy of that resume. So that's kind of something to pay attention to. Maybe Carmella and Billie Kay might team up pretty soon, but I don't really know. Hopefully it's not just something where Carmella's trying to use Billie Kay, kind of similar to how she was using Reginald, but I don't know. That's just something that I noticed and I wrote down to definitely pay attention to it going forward for sure. And Carmella actually has a match a little bit later, so that's definitely not the last of Carmella that we'll see during this episode of SmackDown. But up next, we get the red carpet premiere where Sami Zayn is supposed to expose WWE for the conspiracy perpetrated against him. And Sami does give Logan Paul a very warm welcome to SmackDown with a pretty nice introduction. And Sami Zayn's actually like dancing as Logan Paul's walking out to the ring. And then before anything gets bad, before anything is really said, Sami Zayn basically just invites Logan Paul to join him as his guest at WrestleMania. And then obviously Logan Paul quickly accepts that offer. And then after watching that trailer, Sami Zayn asks Logan Paul, "Hey, what are your thoughts on that? What do you think about it?" And Logan says, "It's compelling. I mean, I can tell you put a lot of effort into it." And he adds that backstage, Logan Paul, that is, was approached by Kevin Owens. And Kevin says that, as well as many other things, that Sami Zayn is delusional. And as Logan Paul is saying that, he's repeating what Kevin Owens said, Sami Zayn begins to lose his temper. And it gets to the point where he eventually has to apologize to Logan Paul because he feels like he offended him. And then as he's apologizing, as he's going on bantering to Logan Paul, Kevin Owens walks up behind him, hits him with a stunner, wiping out Sami Zayn, and then he shoves Logan Paul on his way out of the ring. Sorry, that's just actually crazy. I cannot believe that I'm actually saying that Logan Paul is involved in a WWE storyline. But I mean, hey, I will honestly admit that he didn't do too bad on the mic. He didn't look like, I mean, I've seen celebrities go in there. I remember specifically like the Ball brothers, Lonzo Ball, LaMelo Ball, whenever they were on Monday Night Raw in the Staples Center with their father. That was an absolute terrible segment. Look at what's going on with Bad Bunny. It's taken like 5 or 6 weeks for us to finally say, all right, I mean, that was an okay segment where you socked Miz in the face. But I will say, I being completely transparent here, am not a Logan Paul fan. I don't really know him at all. I've seen obviously the vines and stuff like that, but that's really it. I have not like purposely gone out of my way to look at any type of Logan Paul content on my own. So basically, for him to just come in like this and I feel like do a little bit better, you can tell that he does have a natural ability as far as mic skills. I mean, he does know how to sell like moments. You could tell, I mean, it didn't look like he was just straight up acting. That's one thing I will say. It looked like he was a little bit invested in what was going on. So I was just a little bit pleasantly surprised. Maybe that was one of the things where my expectations were so low that it really was going to be pretty easy to, you know, surpass them. But I just really wasn't sure how this was going to go. And I was pleasantly surprised at the very end of it. But like I said, Kevin Owens, he shoves Logan Paul. So that basically just tells you that Logan Paul is going to have a little bit of an altercation at some point. I mean, he looked like he was trying to, you know, be the peaceful guy, not hurt Sammy's feelings, not get in the way of Kevin Owens. But at the same time, he kind of had that look on his face like, I don't even know what the hell is going on right now. So that was kind of funny to see. But I'm interested to see where this goes. Kevin Owens does get attacked backstage by Sami Zayn. I don't know why I keep getting those two names confused. Jesus. But Sami Zayn attacks Kevin Owens from behind whenever he's being interviewed by, I don't think it was Caleb Braxton. I'm not sure who this other lady was. I need to learn her name for sure. But he's being interviewed backstage. He gets attacked by Sami. And Sami Zayn basically says, I'll see you at WrestleMania. He's yelling that. So one thing I took away from that, and at least what Sami Zayn was yelling, it makes me wonder if they're not going to make an appearance on the WrestleMania SmackDown next week. It would make sense for them to. Why wouldn't you show up to the go-home show and do something, especially if you're just now bringing Logan Paul into the situation? I feel like it wouldn't really make sense to just go from straight from this right to WrestleMania. So I guess we'll see if he does make an appearance next week. If they did advertise it or something, I certainly missed it. So if you guys are saying, hey, he is going to be there next week, I just didn't see it. So I'm definitely going to look and see if they said that Sami Zayn is going to do something next week, maybe a KO show with Logan Paul as the guest. That's something that might actually be doable, and it might actually happen now that I think about it. But moving on here, like I just said, we have Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville getting a little bit more camera time. This time they're approached by Edge. And he isn't necessarily on the same page as Paul Heyman was earlier whenever he was kind of complaining about the street fight tonight. Edge actually says that that was a great idea. And he informs us and them that he's going to be a special guest on commentary during the match. So in other words, get your popcorn ready because you know what is going to hit the fan at some point. So let's see. Next we get Bianca and Carmella. And Caleb Braxton actually interviews Bianca before Matt's, but I don't really feel like anything, you know, important was really said there. I was listening, but I just couldn't really feel like anything was too noteworthy. She basically said that she's going to go through Sasha Banks at WrestleMania. That's ultimately what she was going to say. And she did say that, or she mentioned Reginald, of course, how Sasha Banks continues to be distracted by him during their matches, yada, yada, yada. Just things that we've already seen. I mean, it's just crazy that we're finally here at the end of this. Like, I remember it seems like forever ago that we were talking about, man, Bianca Belair has potential to win the Royal Rumble, and then it's ultimately she's gonna choose Sasha. And now, I mean, it's been like, gosh, how long, like 6 months since we actually started talking about Bianca having this possibility of getting this far. So to find out that she is here where we thought, and it's actually about a week away from finally happening, it's just cool. It tells you how far we've really come in this whole thing. But like I said, she does have a one-on-one match with Bianca. Or Bianca has a one-on-one match with Carmella. Sorry, guys. It's already past midnight, so you guys already know that it is tough sledding sometimes doing this. Anybody who does podcasting would probably agree with me. But like I said, Carmella, she cheap shots Bianca before the match, before Bianca can even get into the ring. But that really doesn't affect Bianca really at all because she still wins this match pretty decisively after about 5 minutes. But this is another segment where it gets kind of weird. Like, it doesn't really make sense because after the match, Sasha comes out and she kind of puts her hands on Bianca. Like, Bianca is looking towards the hard camera, kind of, you know, celebrating with her arm up. And then Sasha comes out of nowhere, grabs her by the shoulder and, like, turns her around. Like, I literally thought she was about to put her in the bank statement. That's how, like, aggressive she grabbed her. Turned around, they just kind of bold looked at the WrestleMania sign together. I mean, it was just weird. I don't really know. I'm so glad that WrestleMania is this close because I feel like if there were a couple more weeks that WWE had to book this, they'd probably just make us less and less interested. So I'm just glad that it's finally here. And it probably won't be the end of it. I mean, WrestleMania, I do not think, especially if Bianca actually takes the championship from Sasha, you know Sasha's going to get a rematch probably at that very next pay-per-view. But it's just, it's one of those things that, man, WWE just, they cannot help themselves whenever it comes to this stuff. And they do, I mean, they have a lot of time. They have, well, I don't even know, how long has it been since the Royal Rumble? Like 9-10 weeks? Maybe even more? I'm not 100% sure, so do not come at me if my math's completely off there, but I just know that, I mean, it's been a long time, so I mean, I guess I can't necessarily fault WWE for having to try to stretch this out, but there's no doubt that they could have done a hell of a lot better than what they have. So why I'm saying that, I know it's not easy trying to book something 9 weeks, you could still do better than what you've done. That whole tag team bullcrap that you're still trying to do right now in Raw, it's just stupid. I mean, it's sometimes I definitely feel like WWE thinks that their fans have the brains the size of peanuts. I mean, I hope that's not the case, but it's just, it's wild sometimes the things that they do. But like I said, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is not taking place at WrestleMania. That was announced that it will be on SmackDown next week. And then like I alluded to a little bit earlier, they had that Baron Corbin backstage promo basically explaining why he attacked Drew and telling us that after he beats Lashley, we're all going to bow down to him, basically taking it straight from Charlotte Flair's playbook. So that whole King gimmick just needs to go out the window. I mean, I'm perfectly fine with him getting drafted to Raw, traded to Raw. Literally, I mean, you guys could have him. Like, Raw could literally have Corbin if that would mean that he would get a new gimmick and drop the whole King Corbin thing, because I cannot think of one person that's ever said, man, that's the gimmick right there. I love Baron Corbin in that King role. That's just what I like to see every week. I've never heard anybody be on board with that. And if you are, I'm sorry. It's just, I don't know what's keeping you going if you are, because it's just, he's literally been treading water for God knows how long. So hopefully he can maybe get something going. I mean, attacking Drew, clearly they are doing something with this. At least I hope so. If they did it for nothing, then I probably wouldn't be very surprised. But moving on, we get the soon, or possibly soon to be new Intercontinental Champion, Apollo Crews, who challenges the current Intercontinental Champion, Big E, to a Nigerian drum fight. And me personally, I have no idea what to really expect from a Nigerian drum fight. I know for a fact I've never seen one before, so I don't know if there's going to be drums surrounding the ring, if somebody's head's going to go through a drum. That's probably, if there was like a prop bet, I would probably put a little bit of money that somebody's head is going to go through a drum, if there's going to be drums surrounding the ring, that is. But I just really don't know what else you would do with a Nigerian drum fight. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more a little bit better of an explanation about that next week before the match actually takes place. But I know it does have a little bit of a, whenever he was explaining it, or at least kind of challenging him to the match, it did kind of get you interested. So it could be one of those matches similar to, like, you know, the Texas Bull Rope match, that are kind of just specifically themed to, you know, cater to one person in the match. Kind of like that match was, the Texas Bull Rope match was specifically catered to more JBL. And this one might be, obviously, the Nigerian drum fight is clearly centered more towards Apollo Crews. So that's kind of just what I'm thinking. This could end up being one of those matches that we remember just because of how unique it is. But moving on here to the main event. Part, what is it, guys? 28, 29 of Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso in the main event of SmackDown. But this time it's a street fight. And this time we get Edge on commentary. And I will say, if you guys watch this, Edge was extremely passionate the entire time on commentary. Like, literally the entire duration of the match, Edge was just going off, going at Michael Cole, going at both wrestlers anytime they'd make eye contact with him. It was just cool to see. Edge is definitely, like I said, he's embracing this role. The Rated R Superstar is about to come out in full effect. You can expect next week, it's completely all going to just hit the fan. And not that it hasn't already, especially considering what happens here in this main event. But Daniel Bryan comes out, wastes absolutely no time, goes right at Jey Uso, starts swinging, and Jey starts swinging right back. After about probably, I'd say, like 6 minutes into the match, Roman Reigns' music hits, and he comes out and he takes his usual seat at the top of the stage while Daniel Bryan is well in control of this match. He's actually hitting Jey Uso in the back of the chair, and Jay's like rolling out of the ring as Roman Reigns comes out. So that's pretty good timing, I guess you can say, to maybe give Jey Uso a little bit of a boost to try to turn this match around. But I will say, this is one thing I noticed when Roman Reigns went out there to sit down. That stare that Paul Heyman does at Roman Reigns, that still drives me crazy. I do not know why. I don't know why he does it, but if you watch him, he's literally like, you know the whole, like, if you're about to make a bad decision, you have the little angel on your shoulder and the little devil on your shoulder. Well, that's kind of what Paul Heyman's head is. He's just standing right there over Roman Reigns' shoulder, just looking at him. I mean, I'm not sure if any of you guys are familiar with Hey Arnold, but one of those kids would always kind of do that to Helga Pataki. They'd kind of do that, like that breathe right over her shoulder, and she would just kind of do that little punch and punch him right in the face. That's just always what I would, that's what I picture doing anytime I see Paul Heyman just right there over his shoulder. Like, I do not know how that doesn't bother Roman Reigns. And honestly, it probably does, but he's obviously not going to say nothing about it. But anyway, I just kind of wanted to point that out. I mentioned it a long time ago whenever I first noticed it, and it's just, it's still driving me crazy because it's not stopped. So I wanted to point that out. But this match gets pretty physical here. Jey Uso, he wraps his fist with one of those steel chains, you know, John Cena style, the one that he used to wear around his neck. He wraps that around his fist, and he takes a shot at Daniel Bryan, and he connects, and then he hits a splash, but Daniel Bryan still kicks out. And after fighting a little bit more, they eventually go outside of the ring. Daniel Bryan hits a suplex off the steps onto the mat outside of the ring, and then he continues to just wail on Jey Uso's back with a steel chair. And eventually, he does make Jey Uso tap out with the yes lock, after Daniel Bryan wraps his arm with that steel chain, and then he just starts to pound Jey Uso with elbow shots. I mean, these were brutal shots. He definitely hit him with the chain in the face. I mean, there's no way around it. So that was just one thing I noticed. Things really got pretty brutal at this point in the match. And as soon as the bell rings, Daniel Bryan just makes a beeline, runs straight at Edge at the commentary table and hits him with the, I think it might have been a running knee, whatever it was, he connected. Edge doesn't get a shot in. Daniel Bryan just continues to beat the hell out of him. He takes him over to the ring post and throws him into it head first like three times, and he gets Edge on his knees and just continues to slam his head into that post. He does it probably about 8 or 9 times. It was actually pretty brutal to see. And then right away turns his attention to Roman Reigns, and then he starts running at Roman. Roman tries to throw that office chair that he normally sits in at him. Daniel Bryan ducks. He ducks a punch by Roman Reigns as well, I believe. Then he hits Roman with a running knee of his own, puts him in the yes lock, and he keeps him there locked pretty tight until he's forced to let go by several WWE officials. And that's ultimately how SmackDown goes off the air, is Daniel Bryan standing in the ring. And just, he had just, you know, wiped out everybody in the entire main event picture. When you look at Edge, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso is obviously there. I do want to know the record. I wish I would go back and look, or at least I wish I would have gone back and look at what the record is between Daniel Bryan and Jey Uso and all of these main events that they've had, because it would be kind of interesting to know how they've all shaped out, because I honestly can't remember. I feel like it's probably pretty even whenever you look at the matches. But as far as this one goes, I mean, Daniel Bryan absolutely snapped. I guess they're just taking turns showing their brutal side, which tells me that Roman Reigns might be next at the next SmackDown. He might be the one who's left standing over a beaten Edge and Daniel Bryan. Since last week it was Edge, the one who went psycho, this week Daniel Bryan returned the favor. So it just makes sense that next week Roman Reigns might get spear happy and deliver a few steel chair shots of his own. So that's something we could definitely look forward to at the WrestleMania SmackDown next week, whatever that means. I wonder if they're going to have a whole set for it and everything as well, because like I said, they do have a logo for it. That actually kind of blew my mind a little bit. I was kind of surprised that they were going to do it anyway. Like, why would you? You're about to have two nights of WrestleMania. Like, you have to try to advertise this as something bigger than what it really is, too. I guess that's what they're trying to do. But nonetheless, I'm excited for it. There are some pretty cool matches that are going to happen next week. And just because they want eyes on the product. They want people to be excited for the next two nights of WrestleMania. So I could expect them to maybe have a few surprises, maybe some tricks up their sleeve to really get you excited as we get straight into WrestleMania. I mean, there's not a lot of time left. There's one Raw, one SmackDown left. That's it. So whatever is going to happen next week is all we have to look forward to before the pay-per-view. And I mean, I am excited. WrestleMania, that's one thing. Despite the, you know, the lackluster booking for several matches, there are still some good ones on the card and some that I'm definitely looking forward to. I mean, Bobby and Drew, obviously the triple threat. I'm still looking forward to Sasha and Bianca. And anytime Rhea Ripley has a chance to win the women's championship, I'm definitely going to pay attention. I obviously think that's what's going to happen, but we'll get more to our predictions next week, as I'm sure Matt will have his prediction show. So you guys are going to get a lot of content next week, a lot WrestleMania related. So I can't really think of a better way to head into WrestleMania season than all these shows. I mean, These guys do a phenomenal job, all these other co-hosts. I listen to all these shows as well. So I am right there with you guys. I'm a fan of these shows just like you guys are. And I love getting that weekly fix. If you don't watch a show, these podcasts are great to fill you in and keep you updated on everything that happened. Because I understand sometimes you can't watch every show. You know, life happens. You get caught up in things. And sometimes you just do not have the time. So that's what we're here for. We're here to make it easier on you so you can just put your headphones in, connect to your car if you're driving and whatever, and just get caught up on everything that happened in the weekend wrestling with several episodes that come out on a weekly basis. But as far as this show goes, the SmackDown review, I think that my time is up and I am going to sign off here. But before I do that, guys, I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank you guys. If you're a regular listener, thank you so much for continuing to do so every week. It means the world to me. If you're a first-time listener, I hope you'll continue to do that. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of stuff here that you will like on this podcast network, and this show in particular is just one of several. So I'm hoping that you guys will all continue to do that. But for now, I hope you guys all have a great weekend, a safe week. Walk passionately in the direction of your dreams, and I will talk to you soon.